Well, hey, my friends, I'm back at it again with you with another great show today lined up with the latest world news and health research here with the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day once again. If you guys heard last night, I was back on Hagman. Last minute, I hadn't really scheduled on it. He called me up. Eric called me up and asked me if I wanted to be on last night. I said, absolutely. And we talked in detail about a whole host of different topics and a lot of different health topics. Some of those I'm going to get in here today. So hope you guys, if you watched the show, hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to cover some more stuff as well on here, though. As always, we got a lot of different things we're going to be going over. And the product of the week, the D3-10,000K2. This is the winner. Over 20% off on here for you. I did a pretty aggressive sale on it. Pretty much skimmed the margin as much as I could, as D3 is such an important nutrient and why it is so important to stay on top of it, we'll get into today. And then another research, I covered this yesterday very briefly, though, the reason why you've got to maintain maximum magnesium levels while you're taking vitamin D if you want to get the absolute best effect and a long-term health effects from it. So stay tuned. I'm going to talk about that on the show today as well and a whole lot of other health topics. And other than that, I got my guest again on with us from another undisclosed location somewhere. How are you doing today, Mr. Brower?
Last night someone contacted me and asked me if I was actually, I sent him a text and they said, are you really in on Mars? And I said, no, when I'm not, when I'm on.
How's the joke yesterday, guys? You pick that up.
I know, but because I guess nowadays with teleportation supposedly and things that we've talked about, all the other crazy things that are out there, people are wondering where I really am. Yeah. Well, I'm not anywhere really in a bad place. I'm in a good place, but you know, I'm going to say something here. You know, an article just came out in the Daily Mail, and it said, "How long should grief really last?" And it's talking about prolonged mourning is recognized now as a real problem with people who've lost loved ones. And let me say something about this. And this is really, 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 really important. If you have a person who's died in your family, and you're mourning them, and it's going on and on for years, you know, some of that's normal, some of it's not. But one of the biggest problems is if you don't have enough nutrients in your body, if you don't have enough B complex, if you don't have enough 5-HTP, if you don't have enough omega-3 fat, it's very, very, very difficult to get past that. In addition to this, you're going to have to deal with extreme loneliness in some cases, especially if a spouse has died. And it's really important that you get socialized, that you get involved with your church, that you get out and you start doing something. And if you really, if you got to do it, get on a dating app. That's kind of a nightmare. But be careful on those things. There are a lot of scammers out there. But don't sit around the house by yourself and stay depressed. It's not okay to do that. It's very, very, very dangerous for a lot of people because they get suicidally depressed because they get alone too long. And just be careful with that. But make sure you keep the nutrient density high enough in your diet to make sure you get enough, like Austin said, magnesium, 5-HTP, omega-3 fats, eat clean foods, and be complex. It'll really, really help. But you got to get out there. Human beings are kind of herd creatures, and we need to be around other people on an ongoing basis, unless you're really a loner, which some people kind of are, but then they don't really get affected too much by loss. But the reality is be really, really careful if you're going through a grief cycle and you're trying to get better, to make sure you stay active mentally and spiritually and physically, and make sure you continue to work out, because it'll really, really help you get through it all. So what do you think?
You're exactly right. The nutrient density is extremely important. A lot of times people start neglecting different types of food. They stop eating. They stop taking supplements. And, I've seen it. It happens. And so that's one of the things, also having a support group that can have your back is really important. And, you know, the other day, I brought this up. I saw this article come out, and it says the sunshine vitamin has notable benefits. It's nearly 1/4 of individuals have insufficient or deficient vitamin D blood levels, which impact bone and overall health. 2 weeks ago, I think it was, I did a solo show, and I covered D3 blood levels and why so many people are deficient. And also, two, why is it that so many doctors refuse to test it, or simply test for it, and most people don't even know what their blood levels are, considering it's one of the most important fat-soluble vitamins in your body. And in this article here, it says, what are the signs and symptoms of vitamin D deficiency? One of the first ones is fatigue. Another one is bone and muscle pain, muscle weakness and cramps. Mood changes, according to a systematic review, about 1/3 of the studies indicated inadequate vitamin D levels were associated with depression, why it's so important to keep D3 in your body and keep it maintained, elevated. It says others suggest supplementing with it is helpful if combined with exercise along with other nutritional supplements. And also bone loss, vitamin D deficiency will cause bone loss as it impels calcium absorption, leading to decreased calcium levels in the body. And one of the main reasons why, and this photo here gives a nice picture of what happens in your body when you consume D3, when you get adequate sunlight. It processes through the liver, basically goes to the kidneys, and the gut and calcium phosphorus absorption increase. Now, one thing about this is, and like I went into detail, if you start taking high levels of D3, you've got to take vitamin K2 with it to make sure you maintain absorption and it goes to the right parts of the body where you need it. They're synergistic together. That's why we have the vitamin D3 10,000 with K2. Very, very high dose there because your body needs it so much. And like I said, I found out many a times now with customers when they get blood work is that a lot more people are deficient in it than they think. I've talked to customers that have come in and said, yeah, I'm on such and such brand. I'm taking like 2,000 IUs a day. I'm like, okay, you know, that's not a horrible dose. At least you're doing something. And their blood work comes back, and they're like 31. They're still very, very low on the range. It's recommended around 50 to 60 is where to have your blood levels on it. You can go a little bit higher, but that's about where it needs to be on average. It's pretty good with 50 to 60. And then yesterday, I started to cover this article, and it talks about the new human trial reveals magnesium directly controls vitamin D activation and gut microbial physiology. The study was conducted as a double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled trial involving 240 participants. And it goes into detail here. It says this design is considered the most reliable method for determining cause and effect relationships because it ensures that any observed changes are attributed specifically to the intervention, in this case, magnesium supplementation. The researchers analyzed microbial composition, vitamin D levels, and magnesium-related cellular regulatory mechanisms. And it goes on here talking about how magnesium supplementation increased vitamin D-producing gut bacteria. That it said one of the most important discoveries was that magnesium supplementation significantly increased the abundance of specific bacterial species in the gut that participate directly with vitamin D metabolism in particular.
Yo.
This is crazy here. It says the magnesium is required for enzymatic activation of vitamin D. The researchers confirmed that magnesium plays an essential role in the enzymatic process required for vitamin D activation. Vitamin D must undergo several transformation steps before it becomes biologically active. After entering the body, vitamin D is converted into intermediate forms and ultimately into its active hormonal form, which binds to vitamin D receptors and regulates gene expression. Because magnesium is required for these activation steps, insufficient magnesium availability can impair vitamin D metabolism, even when vitamin D intake is adequate. So what they're saying is here, you can be taking decent amount of D3, but if your body is insufficient in magnesium, it's not going to be able to convert it. It's not going to be able to absorb it. And at the end of it, it's not going to be able to utilize it and actually take it to where it needs to be, increase levels, and maintain homeostasis in the body with good, flat levels that are healthy and keeping you really strong and healthy. And then it goes into detail here. And I want to get Dad's take on here in a second on this because it says magnesium influences vitamin D physiology through multiple independent mechanisms as magnesium functions as a central regulator of vitamin D metabolism. And it says, taken together, these findings establish magnesium as a central regulator of vitamin D physiology. Magnesium determines whether vitamin D can be properly activated at the enzymatic level, and whether gut bacteria capable of producing vitamin D metabolized can thrive. Without sufficient magnesium, both pathways may be impaired. This is a huge, huge study now, and another reason why we always talk about the magnesium brain food so much, and why we talk about D3 so much, and now we're seeing they pretty much need to be taken together. Ed, what do you think?
Well, we've been saying it for years. I mean, you've covered a lot of material there all at once. Seasonal affective disorder, D3, directly helps that. Basically, we have a lot of mood swings in the upper northern climates when you don't have any sun. And over here in Sweden or in Germany or wherever you want to be, you find out in a situation that, you know, if it's dark year-round, 8 or 9 months out of the year, when you don't get a lot of sunlight, you've got to take vitamin D supplements. But the problem is if you don't have sufficient magnesium, which is used in over 400 biochemical reactions of the body, it won't work. In other words, if you're taking vinegar and you're mixing it with baking soda, there's a chemical reaction that occurs. The same thing happens in the body. If you don't have enough magnesium and you are taking D3, it won't work. It can't be utilized. The same thing happens with your macrophage, your killer white blood cells, you know, for preventing cancer. If you don't have sufficient D3 in those macrophages, which are the little turn-on switches on the bottom of the macrophages, then the macrophage can't work. It can't kill cancer cells. And all of this is related to vitamin D and magnesium. So many people are deficient. Now, you also said that about 25% of the population is deficient in vitamin D3. I don't think that's even close, Austin. I think that article is a little wrong. I think it's closer to 90% of the population is deficient in D3, unless they live in a very sunny climate. They're not using sunscreen or using umbrellas or keeping out of the sun. So many people stay out of the sun, but they don't take vitamin D3, and so they end up with a vitamin D deficiency. I can't tell you how many times I have asked specifically that cancer patients, literally 99% of the time when I ask them, what are your D3 levels? And they say, I don't know. Has the doctor checked him? No. And I don't understand any of that. I mean, vitamin D is critical in the immune system. And without D3, you simply can't recover from cancer. So I don't understand why these medical professionals don't automatically and routinely order a vitamin D test with every single book. To me, it's so important with vitamin D that if you get a cholesterol test and you get any kind of blood work, it should include vitamin D, period. And if you're over the age of 50, you should include testosterone if you're a guy. Very, very, very important that you understand these supplements are used to maintain healthy bodies. And if you don't have a high enough concentration of certain nutrients in your bloodstream, you simply cannot produce a healthy body. It doesn't work that way. It's like mixing vinegar and baking soda together, like I mentioned earlier. It's a chemical reaction. If you try to make vinegar foam up or baking soda foam up without adding the other, it doesn't work. The same thing is true in the body. Without the right nutrients, your body simply cannot absorb the vitamin D. It can't absorb the magnesium properly. Macrophages can't work. Cancer can't be prevented. And that's why people get so sick. I remember a few years ago, I met this lady, and she had breast cancer. And I told her, I said, well, what supplements are you taking? She goes, well, I don't take any supplements. And I said, okay. And I said, well, what is your D level? She goes, well, I don't know. And I said, okay. And she said, I said, well, can you start taking your supplements? She goes, no, I don't like taking supplements. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, I don't like swallowing pills. And, you know, and a lot of you know that that's one of the primary reasons we came out with a powdered multiple, because most people don't like swallowing pills. Well, you could take the powdered multiple. You could take the powdered magnesium. You could take, you know, the powdered vitamin C. All of that stuff's available through healthmasters.com, and you don't have to swallow pills. But the reality is, saying I don't like swallowing pills and having deficiencies, it doesn't work together. She could have easily taken the vitamin D3, which is in a capsule form, broken open the capsule, which is in powder, and put it in with her vitamin C and other nutrients. She didn't want to do that. And so she said, they told her, they said, we're going to, it was a tiny little tumor, tiny little mass. And she goes, well, they want to do a double mastectomy on me. They told me there was routine surgery, and they'll go do a couple of surgeries, and I'll be fine. And you won't be able to tell that I had cancer surgery. And I looked at her, I said, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. I said, they're going to unbelievably butcher you, is what they're going to do with a double radical mastectomy. And so after like 30 surgeries, Austin, you know, her and her husband basically had gotten into such, it was the best, they ended up getting divorced. But, and it's sad because I feel bad for her, but she told me, she goes, I refuse to swallow pills. I will not take any vitamins. And a lot of people are like that. They simply don't want to take supplements at all if they have to swallow them. Me, on the other hand, I mean, I've got a whole suitcase with the stuff that I brought with me on this trip that I'm on, because I'm taking my supplements no matter what. And sadly, a lot of the stuff that I take, you can't even buy where I am because they don't sell it because it's, quote, unquote, not available, you know, publicly. It's kind of crazy with all that. And now another study just came out from Daily Mail, and they're talking about how many children thousands and thousands of kids now, hundreds of thousands of children are having teeth extracted. I'm talking about children under the age of 10. Every single year over here, you know, in Europe and in the United States, they have their teeth removed because their teeth rot out. And I was reading through the article, and the article comes in and says, well, the main reason this is happening is because of a lack of fluoride in the diet. Unbelievable. No, the
so
main
stupid.
Reason. No. Fluoride is a neurotoxin. Well, you have a deadly poison that you're not putting in your child's diet, therefore their teeth are rotten. No, the reason that they're, like over in England, for instance, the teeth are so bad in England because they don't have proper oral care or oral hygiene. They simply don't have it. You know, they don't do that in England as much. And the sad part about it is, when you really take a look at what's going on in England with tooth decay and children with tooth decay, you start to understand very quickly that there's a problem associated with the diets of these kids and high fructose corn syrup. And that high fructose corn syrup is causing so many of these kids' teeth to rot out, including the United States right now. Awesome. But I have seen children. We had a kid, well, I remember years ago, he basically said that he was it was one of our neighbor's kids, and they said that they were his entire mouth had rotted out. You remember there was his name was Job. Well, I'm not going to mention any names. And it's because all he did was eat candy and junk all of the time. So it's really kind of sad, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're spot on. And let's not address the fact that the average child now drinks anywhere between 2 to 3 to 4 sodas a day. Or let's not address the fact that the average kid's drinking 2 to 3 to 4 energy drinks every single day, which are also laden with carbonation. They're also laden with phosphoric acid and sugar and a whole host of other things. Let's not address any of that. Oh, it's because they're not getting enough fluoride. Get more fluoride. What is dental fluorosis? Oh, I don't know what that is. Too much fluoride causes your teeth to fall out and decay and brittle and just fall out of your mouth. Oh, yeah. They don't have enough fluoride. Get more neurotoxins. Stupid. They come up with stuff like that. And what's crazy part about this is the vast majority of parents, if they haven't done their own research, they just believe this moronic trash. Then they listen to their doctors. Oh, the reason why they're so sick and their tonsils and their adenoids are swollen up and we need to remove them is because they haven't had enough vaccines yet. They've only had 62 of their vaccines. They need 76. Take all your shots. You're going to be sick again. Well, the shots clearly aren't working, doc. Oh, it doesn't matter. Do you not trust me? You don't trust science? I am science. This Fauci so eloquently put it during COVID. You don't trust me, you don't believe in science. God, the arrogant, steaming pile of crap, dude. The fact that he has not been indicted and the fact that he got away with what he did during COVID just shows you how stinking corrupt the federal government is down to its core and how Big Pharma completely controls and owns our government through all the different subsidiaries of BlackRock and also, too, that one little fun Middle Eastern country in the entire world that gets to do anything it wants and there's no repercussions to it because they've told us they're our greatest ally. Second news here, speaking of stupid individuals that do stupid things, the FDA, its infinite moronic ability to not be able to control basically drugs. I thought we were making leadway with these guys. I really thought the FDA was making some changes. Nope. It was a total psyop. FDA now is dropping requirement for 2 studies of new drug approvals down to 1 trial. This is insane. It says the Food and Drug Administration will approve many new drugs based on 1 trial moving forward. They've typically always required 2 clinical studies from companies seeking approval for most drugs. All the recent years now is being approved single, well-run trial. The FDA has demonstrated disease-by-disease flexibility and has granted approval based on single pre-market study with confirmatory evidence. So insane. However, though, we've exercised flexibility in the past, and now we're making it clear that we're dropping it down to 1 single study. So it's going to be really easy now for Moderna and Pfizer to come out with new filth and new shots, basically saying, we've done 1 trial. Don't mind the fact that the placebo group got an enormously high dose of aluminum adjuvant in the placebo shot. And, there's no side effects at all. It's not clinically relevant. Everything's fine. This is insane. I thought the FDA was actually making some changes. Apparently, they're not at all. And this article comes in here, too, as well. The FDA chief has basically Kessler, who led the U.S. FDA in the 90s, actually came out and helped expose how tobacco companies manipulated nicotine levels. He is now petitioning the FDA to revoke the generally recognized as safe status of dozens of refined carbohydrates. So this is the guy that used to actually work for the FDA. He was pretty sharp. In a 60 Minutes interview now, he's taking the stance on basically what they took on tobacco, now against ultra-processed foods. Former FDA Commissioner David Kessler said ultra-processed foods pose a public health threat as large, if not larger, than processed tobacco. He urged regulators to revoke the generally recognized safe status of key ingredients in ultra-processed foods. U.S. Health Secretary RFK Jr. said the question Kessler's asking are questions the FDA should have been asking a long, long time ago. And he's spot on. The petition targets sweeteners, starches, and flours such as high fructose corn syrup solids. The ingredients are linked to cancer, heart disease, obesity, metabolic disease, chronic health conditions, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and the list goes on. I bring this up on the show almost every week as far as the ultra-processed foods and how bad they are for the body and why you've got to start doing your best to cut them out. And he goes into detail here. He said modern food manufacturing has engineered products that overwhelm human biology, said Kessler. Over the last 40 years, the U.S. has been exposed to something our biology has never intended to handle. Energy dense, highly palatable, rapidly absorbable, ultra-processed foods have resulted in the greatest increase in chronic disease in our history. Kessler said companies took cheap starches, converted them into ingredients that caused metabolic havoc. These products directly target the brain reward circuits that keep us coming back for more. They trigger overeating and deprive us of all sense of fullness. He urged customers to look at ingredients and basically stay away from them. They're ending up in your liver. They're contributing to cardiometabolic disease. And I couldn't have said it any better with here, Kessler. You're spot on with this. We're watching this problem happen all the time now. So many people that, I mean, kids now. I'm hearing reports on it. Teenagers. Obviously, they've never drank alcohol. They don't be exposed to anything crazy. And they're coming down 12 and 13 years old with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And their liver's all swollen. And they have full metabolic syndrome. And they're having to go on insulin because their bodies are shutting down. And you ask yourself the question, how is this happening? Well, it's happening a lot of times because the parents are allowing this crap to stay in the house continually and not have any moderation on the foods their kids are eating. You can't take a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12-year-old have all this food sitting in the pantry that's unbelievably addictive to the brain and say, don't eat it. Don't look at it. Don't even think about it being there. It's there just when I want it. You can't touch it. They're going to figure out a way to eat it. You know, I knew a friend years and years ago, and they had a vending machine business. And, you know, the vending machines, you guys know, it's every ultra-processed crap food in the entire world they stuff in the vending machine. From Honey Buns to, you know, Ritz crackers to Snicker bars to Hershey's to Milky Ways. You name it. It's crap. It's in there. And I remember the basically kids that were in the family, they had nothing but health problems. Their obesity was out of control, to be honest with you. And the problem with it was you'd go to their house. And I used to go over there all the time as a young kid. I remember this. And they'd have the pantry. They have these areas all across the house where they stored all this vending machine food because they'd have to go fill it every single day as a business. And from a business model, you know, it made decent money back then. But you'd go in and there was junk food everywhere from one end of the back of the house all the way to the other end of the back. Because I remember very vividly. And I remember when we'd go over there and play all the time and I'd be running around with them, the kids that lived there, they'd always be snacking on something. It was like 24-7. They're on a candy bar. They're on crackers. I ate some of it over there. But I ate so clean at my house, and basically in general, I never really overate because I wasn't addicted to food. I was too busy outside. Half the time they had to try to get me to eat more food. I'd be on a bicycle for 8 hours, wouldn't come home. And I remember thinking about it, and I was like, gosh, why do they eat so much food? And sure enough, now you're doing some more research on this ultra-processed food. It's unbelievably addictive to the brain. This is why it's so important to keep the crap out of the house if you want to maintain health in your family and your kids. Eat it occasionally if you really want to have something, but use it as a tool, not a crutch, as a reward. I told you the you know, and Dad knows this, but the deal I have with my kids, if they go to Awana or they're doing something at school and they come back and they get a bunch of candy for something, and for some odd reason, I don't understand why nobody can figure this out in schools or churches. You know, a while back ago, any big event at the church we were going to. And I've since complained, and they've actually gotten better about it. I will give them this on the food. Well, the kids came home with these lollipops, or these big flat lollipops. I mean, I'm not joking. They're like the size of a pancake. They're the size of my face. Big rainbow multicolored lollipop that they gave them all if they won this big event that they had over there. And so out of curiosity, they brought home and said, oh, look what we got. And I'm like, okay, ice cream claws. And they knew the deal. I said, you want this? I'm not going to take it from you but throw it away. This is something you want. Would you guys like to swap it out for some Häagen-Dazs ice cream? Yes. They flipped out. I said, cool. We're going to Publix and got Häagen-Dazs ice cream. And I quickly grabbed these lollipops. And I remember I pulled the back of them up because they had the ingredients on the back. And I wish I had taken a photo of it. The one lollipop, what they did was they broke it down into 8 servings. I'll never forget this. So when you look at the back, it said, you know, sugar in it, like 20 grams of sugar. And I'm like, that can't be right. And so I looked, and sure enough, that's 1 of 8 servings that's in the lollipop. 160 grams of sugar in this giant pancake lollipop with high fructose corn syrup being the number one ingredient.
That's right.
And I showed it to Lynn. I shook my head, and I was like, what the heck is this? I wouldn't even give this to an animal. Like, I wouldn't even feed this to anything. It's literally pure high fructose corn syrup, 160 grams of it with food coloring, and you wonder why the kids are sick and hyperactive all the time. So I promptly threw them away. They got their, like, fudge brownie ice cream, which, God forbid, I mean, you eat anything else besides that lollipop at that point. I was like, get any Haagen-Dazs, get any organic ice cream you want. I don't care what flavor. Just don't eat that. And so, sure enough, it worked out fine. But, Dad, I shook my head with 160 grams of sugar.
No, you know, and Austin, the thing that bothers me, and it really grieves my spirit, is the fact that you take these kids to church, you want to teach them what the Word of God says, you want to have a preacher preach to them, or have the, you know, or the Sunday school teacher teach them something, and then they teach them, you know, what the Bible says. In most cases, sometimes they don't, and then you find out that they were given a whole bunch of trash food that's going to destroy and kill them. And the Bible says, don't you know that you yourself are God's temple, that God's spirit lives within you, and if you destroy God's temple, he will destroy you. It's what it says. But yet, when we have our children, we don't think about it. Let me give you two examples. I know the family very well that you're talking about, and I still have a really good relationship with the husband. And I used to talk to him, and I said, you know, why do you allow this in your house like this? Both your daughters are obese. And his response was, well, you know, this is what my wife has done, and this is what she's decided to feed them, and I'm not there. I work all the time. And he was telling the truth. He was. And he was also eating the same foods. He got extremely heavy. So he ended up having to have, you know, bypass surgery done on his gut. Okay. The wife got extremely heavy. Both the daughters became obese. I mean, one to the point that she had bypass surgery done. And they were all being taught this type of lifestyle from a very young age because of the vending machine stuff. Now, I realized they were doing it from a health standpoint. And I remember I asked the mother one time, the daughter was 8 years old. And I asked the mother, I said, why do you allow her to make these choices and these decisions? She's 8 years old. Why do you allow her to eat this junk? She goes, these are her decisions. They're not my responsibility. If she wants to eat this stuff, she can eat it. And I looked at her. I said, she's eight. She's 8 years old. How can you possibly think that way? It's not okay. She's still in a theta brainwave state. She has no idea what she's doing. Didn't make any difference. And that daughter ended up getting extremely obese. I mean, we're talking pushing 400 pounds. You know what I'm talking about, Austin. And she was really, really nice. The sad part about it is she's now, because of the bypass surgery she's done, she has loose skin everywhere because, you know, she lost over, I think, almost 300 pounds. And it's just sad that she looks so horrible right now. And it's all because of what her mother did and her parents did. You think, well, that's just an isolated incident. No, it's not. I had another family. The daughter ended up being about 300 pounds. And she was basically arguing me one time as far as the kids were young. And I said, well, no, we have certain rules that we do as far as from a health standpoint. We just don't have certain things in the house. And I remember she said, well, you have too many rules. And I'm like, well, too many rules. I don't have too many rules. We just eat clean. And I said, well, you know, and then we find out that her son is like 20 years old. He's still in high school. He is functionally illiterate. He cannot read. I mean, because she never bothered to have tests with him as far as homeschooling, and the daughter was 300 pounds, but she had too many rules. And I looked at her and I said, and I normally don't, I'm not this direct with people, but she was, you know, busting my chops. And I looked at her, I said, the reason that you have a son who's 20 years old who can't read is because you don't have any rules. There's a reason that you have a daughter, you know, who's 23 years old or 24 years old at that point, and she's 300 pounds and she doesn't read, and she's clinically obese. It's because you don't have any rules. And I said, it's your fault your daughter's overweight. You allowed her to eat all of the stuff when you were little. Now, I know I'm coming across really harsh this morning, and I'm not trying to, but I'm trying to make a point. And finally, the lady said to me about a month later, she goes, you know, you were right. I thought about it. It is my fault that my daughter is obese. And I said, no, it is. It's always your fault. When you are a parent, you take on the responsibility of taking care of your children spiritually, mentally, physically, all of it. Now, sometimes we make mistakes. We all make mistakes like that, and we all have things. If we were parents and we could do it over again, we would change certain things. That's an absolute fact for everybody who's being honest with themselves. But certain things you just can't mess up like that. You can't give them junk food until you make them clinically obese and then not blame it on yourself. A six-year-old never, Austin, gets to the car and drives to the junk food place and buys a bunch of junk food.
It's the truth.
We're giving those. we bring it home. And same thing. If you've got grandparents that are going to give your kids high fructose corn syrup and junk and all this garbage stuff, just tell the grandparents you can't feed them this, period. Or I can't bring them over to see you, unless they're supervised by me. And that'll tighten up the grandparent. It really will. You know, when your kids come over to my house, it's always organic, 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 everything. Even if we have marshmallows, we're cooking them over the fireplace. You know, they're organic marshmallows, you know, with fish marrow instead of pork marrow. I make sure the kids eat right when they're at my house, and they never, ever, never, ever, ever get high fructose corn syrup because it's so poisonous. Same thing that we talked about the other day on the show about all the omega-6 oils in the linoleic acid. You cannot believe how many people don't understand that olive oil is cut with canola oil in 99% of the cases, and it's unbelievably poisonous unless you get pure olive oil. You don't need to be eating it that's been cut like that. And it's something you've got to make sure you know about when you do it, Austin.
No, and you're spot on with that, and this is why I've hammered this topic so heavily, because I'm dealing more and more now with parents that are coming to me and asking what to do with their kids, and a lot of times that is a topic of discussion. I've had that brought up by numerous parents now where, you know, their grandparents or their aunt and uncles are helping them raise the kids, or basically they're trying to help them save money so they're not in, you know, daycare, or they're picking them up after school. And I get it. Everybody's got to try to work together. And it's really great if you do have a family that can help you out some and help mediate some of the stress of raising multiple kids while you're working and you got school. I got it. But at the end of the day, you've got to have some respect there for the parents. And if the parents say, I don't want them eating this, or we're trying to work on their weight. Like I said, a good friend, couple of mine, they've had issues with their son, and he's having obesity issues, and they can't figure out how to get one side of the family to stop giving him crap food. I mean, it's just nonstop. Anything the kid wants, he gets when he's with them, and they're taking care of him a lot. And now they said, well, we're going to go, by the way, we're going to go have him tested. Not the parents, the grandparents. We're going to go, we're going to have him tested for ADHD. So he's got a lot of behavioral problems now. And the mom goes, dude, I've asked you a dozen times to stop feeding him all this junk food. I've asked you a dozen times to stop feeding him all this soda. Now you guys want to take him to the doctor to go put him on Adderall at 8 years old because you say you can't control him when he's at your house? How about you look at what you're putting in his body first, before you got, and that's a concept that's crazy to me. I mean, it really boggles my mind when you understand physiology, especially a young child.
That's right.
You're feeding them high fructose corn syrup. You're feeding them ultra processed food. You're feeding them enormous amounts of detrimental sugar in their body. And then you go, we can't figure out why he's so hyperactive. He won't listen. He won't focus. And he's acting a fool all the time. So we're going to put him on amphetamines to control his behavior.
Unbelievable.
Instead of look at what we're already putting in his body. And people do it like it's in like schedule two drugs or just something like, oh, yeah. Amphetamine for y'all, Ritalin for you, Adderall for you. It's
right.
Like just Pez dispensers for a 6 or 7 year old. If you're a grown adult and you decide you want to go on a pharmaceutical drug, that's your choice. I'm not going to tell you it's good sometimes, but it's your choice, okay? A 6 or 7 year old or 8 year old, when you put them on that drug, they don't have a choice. You're changing the entire brain chemistry of them at a very young age that is never going to be the same afterwards when you put a young child on amphetamines for years and years and years. It is never the same. It completely changes the entire brain structure, rewires them. So be very cautious to use that stuff as a first resort or a second resort or a third resort. That stuff needs to be the last possible ditch option at the end of the line when all else fails. And in my opinion, once you get to that end of the line, you'll find that it's really not necessary in most cases if you moderate diet and add some discipline. That's the big D word that nobody wants to discuss.
You said discipline.
I said discipline.
Here's the problem. I'd stand in front of 40,000 people at a seminar, and I'd talk about ADD and ADHD and Ritalin and Adderall, and I'd ask them, I'd say, that's in the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, and Demerol. It's a Schedule II drug.
Yeah.
I said, it's an amphetamine salt. I mean, it's one of the top 10 drugs slated for pharmaceutical theft, Ritalin. And the same thing with Adderall. You know, parents grind it up and snort it up their noses. That's so bad. And, it's a hardcore Schedule II drug. In other words, it's in the same category with morphine. If it was a Schedule I, it would be illegal. It's the strongest category drug that's still legal that you can take.
Yes.
And you're giving it to a six-year-old who doesn't have any idea what it's going to do long-term to their brain. I remember years ago, when you got out of college, Austin, you graduated, as brilliant as you are, you graduated at 19 years of age, with a bachelor's degree, and you were going to go into the OCS program with the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And, you and I sat... Yeah, right. And I remember I told you, I said, that's fine. I said, now they're going to want to give you a bunch of vaccines. I said, at this point in time, you're 19 years old. If you want to do that, that's your choice at this point. I'm not going to say anything to you. I suggest you may get a variant. Don't let them do it to you. Get it in writing from them before you go in. And they gave it to you. They told you that if you went in, but you could not be deployed.
Yeah, I could get all the exemptions on them that I wanted because it was officer program in Quantico. The issue was they disclosed to me later on. They said, you will not be able to deploy in any theater if you cannot get all these shots. And I was like, well, I'm not going to sit around and push pencils. I want my MOSB infantry. And they said, well, that ain't going to happen, not without shots. And I'm like, well, this changes the whole entire discussion and topic. The thing about it is, the one thing is when you go into OCS, it's completely different than enlisted because they sit there. You have a much different option of what you can do and not do, especially if you don't take your commission yet. And, you know, it was one of those things where it was a blast training with everybody. I learned a ton. But at the end of the day now, what I've seen the military be used for is very sad. I had a friend of ours who was basically a officer, a helicopter pilot. They put him in the doggone brig for refusing to take the anthrax vaccine.
I remember that.
Locked him up.
His name was Eric.
Everybody getting anthrax shots, going to seizures, getting sick, going to the infirmary. Doesn't matter. You're getting the shot. He's like, I'm not taking the shot. I said, okay, done. We're going to basically disarmably discharge you. First, we got to figure out what to do with you. You're an officer. Yeah, we can't put you in the listed brig.
They had to set up a brig for officers. They didn't even have one. Remember that?
Yeah.
And the problem is he was already deployed in a theater. They weren't giving him the option. And the sad part about it is that, you know, if you go in with the option to start with, they treat officers different in the Marine Corps and in other, you know, other posts because it's an optional thing. But you could not take your commission if you don't want. And so it's kind of sad. But I want to give you one other thing, too, because everybody's favorite person to hate is Hillary Clinton. Now, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said, well, she is. She's a doggone Sabbatean witch. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton claimed that she had only met Jeffrey Epstein's associate Ghislaine Maxwell on a few occasions, despite widespread reporting that Maxwell attended Chelsea Clinton's wedding and played a substantial role in the incredibly corrupt Clinton Global Initiative, one of President Bill Clinton's signature post-White House endeavors. The Justice Department released its latest tranche of documents relating to the late Epstein, which revealed that Ghislaine Maxwell played a significant role in the Clinton orbit of politics. Hillary Clinton recently said that she had met Maxwell on a few occasions, attempting to distance herself from Maxwell and Epstein. Bill Clinton was featured prominently in the Epstein files. Despite this claim, Maxwell, in her Justice Department interview last year, she said that she had a very central role in setting up the Clinton Global Initiative. She also said Epstein was involved in the effort. But of course, Epstein and Bill Clinton were best buddies, and he flew on the Lolita Express multiple times. So all of these people are deeply involved in all of this unbelievable filth and trash, including the prince now over there in England, who's now been arrested for what has happened as far as breach of office or whatever he was being arrested for, involving with the Maxwell, you know, the stuff. So it's one of those things. This thing keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, personally, I feel as though that Donald Trump is moving to go into Iran now because he still has the ability to do that because he is still controlling the military. And I think he's really scared, and Netanyahu's really scared, that Donald Trump's going to continue to get soiled from this Epstein stuff and that they want to try to get into Iran as quickly as they can while they have a president who's willing to move so much military personnel into the Gulf over there right out of outside of Iran. So we got a real mess going on over there with this going on. And now Wexter was just reporting. He was before Congress talking, and he had like a six-hour interview, and he basically said that Epstein was a con man who basically did not charge him anything initially for financial advice. And after several years of giving him free advice, Wexter kept pleading with Epstein to try to help him with certain things. And then finally, he let him in behind a curtain. That's a term that's used a lot by con people. They'll play you. They won't tell you what they're doing or how they do it or how they get such a big return on their investment. But they'll say, well, if you do this, I'll let you in behind the curtain. I'll let you see what's really going on behind the curtain. But you're going to have to give me money to invest for you in order for you to see this. I've seen that personally years ago from a guy who ended up being a complete and total scammer. And luckily, I didn't get involved with him. But the crazy part about it is Wexter is really doing backpedaling now. But he can't explain how he gave a 50,000 square foot penthouse building to basically Jeffrey Epstein.
There you go.
That was worth $50 million and how they were using Victoria's Secret to recruit for Epstein. This is a mess. Now, Wexter is like 88 years old now, is trying to do damage control, and good luck with that. He's
deep in
all of this stuff.
That's exactly right. He knows exactly what he was involved in. He's so full of crap. You know, you don't get bamboozled. The thing was, I looked up the entire deal with the Manhattan house over there, and it went through two different LLCs to finalize a gift to Epstein. you don't accidentally get scammed out of giving a $70 million Manhattan seven-story compound away and all the other filth that Epstein was involved in and basically Webster was involved in with Victoria's Secret. So they go, I don't know if he was involved in anything. I never saw anything. I just went to the island to hang out with him a couple times, and then I just gave him a Manhattan compound for $70 million for free. Get out of here, dude. The problem is everybody's trying to distance themselves from these files now that have come out because there's actually names on them. And now they come out, you know, Prince Andrew's arrested for misconduct today. Listen, and Doug did call this last week. I talked about it briefly, and he said, there's going to be a couple people that they're going to put basically on the altar of sacrifice now with Epstein. And they're going to basically throw a couple people under the bus to give the peasants their bread and circus. And that'll be some names and some convictions.
That's right.
Probably a couple top people. And he goes, they're just going to sacrifice them on it. Okay. But that's, by the way, you're arrested now. You're going to do 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And they're going to make a big stunt about it. And they're going to say, see, justice has been served. We did the people's business and we served justice. They're going to prison. What a bunch of crap. They knew this
was going
on. And me and Doug talked about it last night. I said, how in the world does the FBI just compile 3.5 million pages of documentation? That's terabytes of information. 15 pallets of paper? That's 3 million pieces of paper. 15 pallets is 3 million pages of paper. 15 pallets. The FBI has been involved in investigating Epstein since the early 2000s when you go back to these documentations. Mm-hmm. They've known what he was involved in for over 20-plus years, probably longer. Nobody's been convicted. Nobody was busted. Nobody's been indicted. Nothing. Zero. Suddenly now we're going to release a few things. The whole thing, everybody knows from the top down, Mossad was running Epstein. He was a former, he was a full agent for them. He worked with the CIA and Mossad. There's a giant blackmail op base that he was doing to get all this dirt on all these. Why do you think, guys, that every time a bill shows up to give Israel another $5 billion or $8 billion in money, that both sides of the aisle almost unanimously vote? That there's never been in the last 30 years. Here's a single bill for Israel's monetary policy for us to give them money that's ever been turned down in Congress. It's always voted for on both sides of the aisle. Really?
That's right.
Really? That one Middle Eastern country that suddenly gets billions of dollars every single year for doing nothing? It is the most unreciprocal relationship we've ever witnessed in human history.
You know, what's interesting?
Giving money.
James Traficant, you know, he was former congressman and putting him in prison for 7 years because he told the truth. He got on Sean Hannity's show after he got out of jail. And he said, everybody knows that Israel controls both houses of Congress, both sides of the aisle. And he goes, we all know that. We're basically, they're running the entire country. And of course, then he was dead right after he started saying all that. He got out and kept talking about it because he knew it was a problem. And so, I mean, think about it for a second. Now, what Wexler just did, he went before Congress and went under oath. That was unbelievably stupid. The only thing out of his mouth should have been, fifth. I'll do the fifth again. I'm not saying nothing. I'm doing the fifth. Because once they can prove that he's lying about anything, now they've got him for perjury. That's exactly what happened to Roger Stone.
Yep.
And he went on there and said, oh, I answered all the questions. And he goes, he was meticulous in revealing to me only glimpses into the life in which he was a sophisticated financial guru who consulted with heads of state, high-ranking politicians, royalty, university presidents, professors, CEOs, musicians, and other luminaries. In a letter to Wexler's foundation, Wexler expressed sympathy for Epstein's victim and said, I deeply regret having ever crossed his path. Now, that I believe. I believe he deeply regrets ever having even met anybody like Jeffrey Epstein because he's just a complete and total scumbucket. And I'm telling you this right now, he had a dead man switch. The nose doesn't even match up on the autopsy photos of Jeffrey Epstein, nor do the earlobes. That was a body double they put in there and took him out. I don't believe for one second. Now, some other people are now saying that Ghislaine Maxwell has changed so much since she's been in prison that she's no longer the same person, that they've got a body double in there for her too, which is that a possibility? You betcha that's a possibility. Because when these people get that high up in Mossad and that much high up and they know so much and they have dead men switches and dead women switches and everything else, they can hurt a lot of people if the information that they've compiled is basically released and put into the open internet. That's why they're trying their best to keep the rest of these pages sealed. And that's why they're still redacting so much of the stuff from Epstein, even though they're not supposed to do that. They're doing it because they don't want the people that are basically being controlled to be uncontrollable and being taken out of office. This is a mess, Austin, and you're right. When you read that book, Dead Men Tell No Tales, Mancow told me to read that book years ago, back in 2019, when Epstein died. And I tell you, that one tightened me up. And we actually covered the entire book, and I read you a bunch of stuff in 2019 about that book. I read you sections of it, and it said the same thing, that Epstein worked with MI6, with CIA and Mossad, and that he was a deep undercover agent with Mossad, and that he was basically doing their work as far as a sophisticated blackmail ring. You know, yesterday I had a guy send me a really good letter, one of our listeners, and it was great, because what he said, it was kind of funny, because I laughed for a second when I read it, but I thought to myself, he is right. We're doing the best we possibly can to do all of this stuff. But sadly, people don't realize. He was saying that we've been telling people all of this stuff for years and years and years on who's running the country. I'm trying to pull the text up myself so I can read it to you. And he said that we've been telling people all of this stuff over and over and over again. And he said when we first started talking about it, he thought we're all kind of crazy. He said, just not something that, we basically believe. And, with the ancient Canaanite religions. And finally, he said that when this stuff came out and we realized it was a satanic death cult that's running the Epstein Foundation stuff, which, by the way, if you notice, people are still not calling it what it is. They're not calling it that, Austin. They're still trying to make it just a pedophile league. They're not talking about the human sacrifices and that he had a dental chair in his doggone bathroom in his shower. What the heck do you need that for unless you're doing some pretty bloody stuff? This is insanity what's going on and what they did to these young girls, Austin.
Yeah, and on top of that, you notice, too, all these emails, all these topics, one thing that they continually have deprived the American population from seeing, and we all know this as a documented fact, is that Epstein was Mossad. They've negated all this. Remember, Marjorie Taylor Greene got on basically multiple interviews last year and said, Epstein was Mossad. We know this. I've seen the files. I'm trying to get them released. Suddenly she goes, I'm retiring in January now, after Trump literally eviscerates her and talks to her like a dog on Twitter. Charlie Kirk does an interview 4 weeks before his death and says, I want to know if there was basically a stand down order on October 7th with Mossad, because I've been to Israel and you can't walk 15 feet without seeing an Israeli soldier with a machine gun. Did guys get over the fence with hang gliders and lawnmower propellers dropping frag grenades and suddenly took over the most heavily armed country in the Middle East with an Iron Dome? I'd like to know that. 4 weeks later, dead. Trafficking, dead. Anybody that brings up ties to Mossad and what's actually happening with these operations suddenly either retires immediately or is dead. That's when you know they're hitting the nail on the head, my friends. And that's, again, what they've intentionally misdirected with the Epstein files, is they've directed it into the area where, yes, we knew what he was involved in. We're still calling it out, and people need to be brought to justice. But they're still not hitting it right on the head and calling out the Israeli special operations and Mossad on what they're involved in with Epstein and how this is an entire operation to control Congress. And like I said earlier, isn't it crazy now? You brought this up. We're about this massive staging now over in the Middle East for Iran. And if you saw all this happen now, and you actually look it on a big enough scale, then Michael Barrett brought this up to me a couple weeks ago, and he said, you noticed, as soon as Charlie Kirk got taken out, everything has moved insanely rapidly with Trump and Israel now. It doesn't even slow down. Every single thing's been occurring now rapidly. Almost like Kirk was one of the only people in the way from blocking what was really going on, because he was asking the real questions nobody would answer. And he had so much pull in alt media. He was one of the number one alt media podcasters in the entire country. And he was starting to call out, why do they have a stand down order? Just Just thought I would ask that. Suddenly he gets a $150 million contract offer from Israel and Netanyahu to basically fund high, basically a turning point to a whole other level of marketing. 150, turns it down. Turns a $150 million contract down. And suddenly, he's shot in the throat by an undisclosed shooter that nobody can still figure out how it happened. From the rooftop with a Mauser 98 that the guy disassembled four different times and left his tools in different places, and then gets on Texan. Texas his boyfriend about everything in great detail. I mean, you got to be living on Mars to think that was the actual shooter. I'm just being honest with you guys. So
that's right.
Again, look at what you're not supposed to talk about, and you'll find out real quick who's running stuff behind the scenes. Another thing that I want to get into real quick, what you're not supposed to talk about here, the FDA. The FDA has now had a study on the FDA last week in the Journal of Vaccines found that among males ages 18 to 25, Moderna's COVID-19 vaccination was associated with 8 to 52% more hospitalizations for vaccine-associated myocarditis and pericarditis than the number of COVID hospitalizations it prevented. The findings contradict the risk-benefit analysis conducted by the FDA, and it goes into detail here in this study how the FDA understated the risk of heart damage from the Moderna COVID vaccine. The study, which was published last week, it says retired University of Virginia professor of mathematics and lead author of the study told the defender the paper sought to determine whether the Moderna vaccine was more beneficial to young males given the high level of natural immunity in the population at the time. The study found that the risk massively outweighed the benefits in 18 to 25 year old males. Remember what I told you guys when they were doing this? I said, why is it that it's almost like young males were being directly targeted by that RNA shot with Moderna? We had guys dropping out in the field in the UK, in the United States, in Europe, in soccer and football, all these areas. You started having some of the most top-tier athletes in existence suddenly having heart attacks after they got the shot. Hundreds. These guys are the top tier. They're tier one athletes. They don't get any more conditioned than this, and suddenly they're having heart attacks on the field. Then it goes into the study. It says the Australian study last year found that myocarditis affected young men more severely than any other group. This new study used data that were available to the FDA at the time it conducted the modeling. Byrd said despite this, the study findings were substantially different than what the FDA concluded, leading them to believe that essentially the FDA suppressed the knowledge that young males were dying or not just dying, coming hospitalized with myocarditis and pericarditis. This is a crazy study, and this blows the lid on exactly what me and Ted told you guys back in 2021 and 2022, that these shots were specifically directed to cause heart problems and health problems.
That's exactly right.
My golly, it's spot on now, dude. I mean, it's spot on with this study. I mean, exactly what we said 5 years ago is coming to truth now, and the FDA suppressed it all. I mean, what the heck, dude? Well, I don't even know.
Well, no, Austin, that's, you know, we got to remember something. When you have a situation in which you're having a group of people that are putting poison into the basically food supply and injecting, you know, the vast majority, 5 billion people on the planet with an mRNA vaccine to basically sterilize the planet, you know, they don't really care about human beings and how many people they damage. They don't really care about how many people die. They don't care about myocarditis. They knew it was going to create myocarditis. They knew it was going to cause pericarditis. They knew the athletes would drop dead. They didn't know how much publicity would happen because of alt news. They didn't understand any of that. But you know what's funny, Austin? That article came out now. You report on it, but nobody goes back now and talks about all those 1,500 athletes, top-tier yep. athletes, that dropped dead in the middle of athletic competition after they took the shots. Drop dead. And then some of the people basically, you know, went into comas, et cetera, and they suddenly resurrected them after, you know, 2 or 3 weeks or after a month of the way they were unconscious. I can give you one of the Hollywood actors, but I'm not going to mention him again because I don't care for him. The sad part about it is you have to ask yourself a question. Is that really the Hollywood actor that died on that field, or is that somebody else, or that polydoxed actor who died on the set, or they're just using body doubles with that? Watch the movie Wag the Dog if you want to see what they could do. And that technology was 30 years ago. With AI now, they could make you stay alive forever. Amen. Forever. You could keep doing podcasts and be forever talking. They could bring Charlie Kirk back from the dead if they wanted to. They could do anything they want to from an AI standpoint, from an AI platform. And sadly, we won't be able to tell the truth from the lie It's already like that. That's why so many people out there won't cover the truth. They won't cover the truth. Nope. And then you go back and you watch their old broadcast. One of the top guys in alt media says, I've listened to him one time. I won't mention his name. He goes, I am a Zionist. I support Israel. And then you find out that all of his advertisers, almost every single one of them, are all top-level Zionists, all of them. And then he'll never criticize Israel. He never talks about Jesus. He'll talk about God all the time, but he never, ever talks about Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. If you have a podcaster out there who doesn't talk about Jesus, who doesn't talk about being led by the Holy Spirit, who doesn't talk about the virgin birth, who doesn't talk about all the things that we talk about, or the blood of Christ and what it does for communion, all the things that we talk about on this show, you got to ask yourself a question. Who is their God and who do they serve? I know that sounds awful. I'm not saying they're all like that, but I will say this. The people that I know who talk about Jesus are legit, because the ones who don't talk about Christ, they don't want to hear about Jesus ever. I remember years ago I was on a coast to coast, and I kept talking. It was right before Thanksgiving, and we were talking about different stuff, and I said, I want to talk about the blood of Jesus on coast to coast. And the producer said, I brought it up to the host. And he said, no. And then the producer, the producer got on the radio. They had me on a break between commercials. And they said, don't bring up the blood of Jesus again. We will disconnect from you. This is on coast to coast. And this was on 500 stations all at once. They were told what they could and couldn't talk about. And Jesus and his blood was not one of them. It was right before Easter, and I was still not allowed to bring it up. And that tells you who runs those shows and why they don't want to talk about Christ. And that's why you watch it on the movies. They'll never, very, very, very rarely will they say, in Jesus' name we pray, when they're praying before a meal. They never, ever do that. Very rarely they ever bring up the name of Jesus, because they know that's the power that comes from on high when they do that, because they don't want Jesus showing up, because they know that Jesus created the heavens and the earth, and they don't want to give him any type of credibility with their God, Lucifer, because they serve a different God. Always remember that, whom you're going to serve to this day. As for me, I serve the Most High God. My heart beats for the great I am, and he's the one I'm going to serve all the days of my life. And his son, Jesus, is the one who created the heavens and the earth, and it's through him all things are held together. Always remember that, guys, and listen to what they say. If they don't talk like I'm talking right now, be very careful if you're going to listen to them on a regular basis.
Yes. No, you're 100% spot on this, because at the end of the day, and this is what I always keep telling everybody, what can you do about this stuff? Be directly involved. Be very, very discerning on who you listen to. There's a lot of podcasters out there that put a lot of good information sometimes, and they put a whole lot of crap right behind it in the middle of it.
Right.
Add it in there. And so be cautious of that. And, you know, at the end of the day, be discerning. You know, this article here, I didn't want to be right about this with the understatement risk of heart damage for the COVID shot. I didn't want to ever be right about this. If you guys rewind our shows all the way back to the middle of 2020, when RNA gene therapy first got brought at the light of the new vaccine under Operation Warp Speed that was going to be brought out, and they were like 6 months out from doing all this stuff. If you remember, I said, do not under any circumstances put RNA gene therapy in your body. This stuff is so novel as far as long-term research on it. And everything I've done going back to DARPA has been an absolute disaster when they've tested gene therapy and what it does to the human genome in the body. I said, don't touch it. And sure enough, they got people slowly conditioned to it. And remember what they did on TV? Remember this. They said, well, there's nothing you can do about COVID. You just need to stay at home, basically hide and wait in the closet, and we'll let you know when a shot's available. That was from the doggone devil himself. Don't believe in Christ. Don't trust your own body. Don't take supplements. Don't talk to your friends. Don't be with your family. Just sit in the closet and wait for the devil to bring an RNA shot to your front door. That is exactly what the lie was about. They didn't want people talking about Jesus. They didn't want anybody talking about the Bible. Exactly like you just said, they wanted everybody to rely on the all-powerful satanic government that we now know has been directly involved with massive pedophile rings for years with these emails. And so again, at the end of the day, be discerning who you listen to, because this is absolutely out of control with what they've been trying to lie to everybody. It is. It's just ridiculous. It's just lie, 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 lie. So you ask me the question, and I tell you this on every show, what can you do about it? Don't listen to BS. This is my vernacular on that. I'm just being honest with you. I'm in a mood today. I'm over it. I had a hard show last night with Doug with a lot of aggressive topics. At the end of the day, be discerning who you take advice from. Success leaves clues. health of these clues. I had a talk with my buddy yesterday, and he was asking me about some financial stuff. And I said, here at the end of the day, look at who you're taking advice from. If somebody comes up to you and they're driving a 40-year-old car that's broke down with tires that are all flat, and they say, listen to me, you need to invest your money with me and I'm going to make you rich. You know, invest in my company. I'm going to show you how to make all this money. And you go, but you don't even have a portfolio you can show me. You don't even have a business model you can show me. Doesn't matter. Just give me 10 grand right now and I'll show you how to flip it. I've heard people do that. I've seen people.
Oh, me too.
I've had people
yeah,
come
me too.
And I'm like, nah, it's a hard pass for me, bro. I'll keep doing what I'm doing. I'm doing just fine. And so be cautious who you're listening to, especially when it comes to health and nutrition. So thank you again for you guys being on this show with us today. Hope you had another awesome show today. We got a lot of topics, even more stuff lined up for you again tomorrow. And if you guys need anything, D3 10,000 K2 on sale for product of the week right now at healthmasters.com and a whole host of other supplements we have on the show. Be sure to check it out. And also, read on here the health articles. The new human trial reveals magnesium directly controls vitamin D activation. Huge, huge study on here. So stay strong, my friends. Stay healthy. We're here for you guys the best we can. Healthmasters.com. If you need stuff shipped quickly, the VIP shipping is available for you at healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome evening, my friends. We're going to keep staying active as much as we can. You guys, talk to you again on tomorrow's show. As always, my friends, see you guys later.